ago.
Thank you. I think you just gave me a voice. Woo-hoo-hoo! All right. So, yeah, so just give a listen, and we'll introduce you to Care Portal as described by the founder, Adrian Lewis.
Every year, Child Protective Services are alert to more than 7 million kids with concerns of maltreatment. These reports have led to nearly 400,000 kids being removed from their homes and placed in an overburdened foster care system, most of them for preventable reasons. The foster care system impacts more than you could think. It is gut-wrenching to look into the backgrounds of our homeless neighbors, of those who are incarcerated, and of women and girls rescued from sex trafficking rapes. What we see is so many of them spent time in foster care. It's all related, folks. That's why we believe that solving the foster care crisis in our nation is our best strategy for social change. It's a place where our combined efforts can have the greatest impact on our communities. And so many of you already care about these issues. Whether you're a church or a business, community leader, you would help a child if you saw them in trouble. But our most vulnerable neighbors aren't always visible. Care Portal is a care sharing technology that drives action for kids and families in crisis. It offers the connection that we need to put our individual networks and resources together and make the most vulnerable children our priority. And here's how it works. Caseworkers encounter needs of children in crisis every single day. Whether they work in child welfare or education, law enforcement, or community resource centers. Once a need is identified by one of these professionals, Care Portal provides an easy way for it to go through a review and approval process within their organization. After that, Care Portal immediately makes local churches and community members aware of the need, giving them a real-time opportunity to collaborate and respond. Through Care Portal, we are closer than ever to the ones who need our help. The platform is designed to equip and empower local churches to make meaningful connections at the point of care and to allow anyone in the community to work together on any request. So whether it's one church that responds or a community of churches and businesses and individuals working together, Care Portal makes it possible for there to be more than enough care for every child through the power of care sharing in local communities.
So many of our children and families in child welfare are isolated. They don't have a support system. Care Portal can provide not only the physical needs for the children and family, but can also provide a support system and relationships.
I look at Care Portal as a platform for us to be able to do ministry across denomination lines, across racial lines, across social economic lines, and the mission field is in our backyard.
Care Portal creates generosity forward supply chains that get the right people involved at the right time, surfacing and solving the types of immediate needs that place families at risk and making meaningful connections that can lead to life transformation. By creating radical access to immediate needs, the community is empowered to step in. Caseworkers request, people and organizations respond, neighbor by neighbor, neighbor to neighbor. We prevent the preventable. It's the power of care sharing at work. Connection changes everything, and it's closer than ever before.
So, as you can see, the child welfare system is something that there's a dire need, right? It's a broken system. Right, if we're just going to be honest, it's a broken system. And so there's 11.4 million kids experiencing poverty nationwide, 4.4 million agency referrals, right? And so then there's 368,000 children in foster care and 108,000 waiting for adoption. 50% of those children in foster care come from 5% of the counties in the U.S. Okay, so that's what we call our 50 and 5. 50% of all the foster cares in America come from only 5% of counties in America. Orange County, Amber Fard County are part of those 5%. And so you've got Miami, you've got all kinds of different areas in Florida that are part of that 5%.
Just statistically specific to Florida.
These are nationwide.
Okay.
Yep, these are nationwide statistics. And then black children make up 23% of kids in foster care, yet 14% of the general population, right? And so black and brown populations are affected more so when it comes to this, disproportionately affected when it comes to this. And so that's going to be important when you know, when you're walking into some of this situation, what house and what kind of culture you might be walking into. This is what we call the child welfare funnel, all right? This is what Care Portal called that funnel. First is going to be upstream. Right up here is going to be called upstream. This is where stabilization services typically offered by non-child welfare services like schools, pregnancy resource centers. Maybe somebody's partnering with a local sheriff's office or fire department, something like that. So this is before a report has actually happened onto a thing and an investigation is happening. And so this is really ultimately where we want to spend a lot of our time, right? We are going to be partnered with, we're going to get down further, and these are going to be our main partners because that is, they are the ones dealing with the foster and adoption. But really, if we want to see systemic change, let's get it before the child's ever removed, right? The trauma that happens when a child is removed from the home is everlasting, right? And so if we can get to that before and if we can help somebody, right? Because a lot of the situations why somebody's removed from the home isn't due to bad parenting. A lot of it's due to poverty, right? And so mom and dad are gone, right? Or it's a single mom or it's grandma and grandpa who are taking care of their kids and all of a sudden they're getting removed again from the home because they're working multiple jobs and they just don't have time or they can't afford that bed because they had to pay for rent and utilities and food, right? And so that's where you're going to see some of that. And so here's the next one. The next one's this prevention and preservation. So a report happens, right? So whether it's the fire department or the sheriff's office comes in and they see that something's there, a report is made, or they're at school, right? That's a lot of times where it happens is if they're at school, they find out they don't have a bed. Why is this kid sleeping all the time in my class, right? Parents aren't doing stuff. What they end up finding out is that they don't have a bed. They don't have a good place to sleep, right? So then a report has happened. The agency comes in, right? So here in our area, in Central Florida, both Brevard, Osceola, Seminole, and Orange County are all under the same what we call community-based care. They're all in this prevention and preservation space and the out-of-home care, but it's called Family Partnerships of Central Florida, all right? So those are the ones that come in when there's an investigation. They go out and investigate. Then the next phase, then after the prevention and preservation report happens, now if a removal needs to be made, right, out-of-home care, a removal needs to be made because it's just not a safe environment, that's when a placement could be relative, right? That would be what we call a kinship placement. So if there's a relative or a really close family friend, that would be that kinship placement. A lot of the placements are with grandma and grandpa, right? Mom and dad had, for whatever reason, can't take care of the kids, and now they're placed with grandma and grandpa. And then you also have just foster parents, right? And then you have multiple home changes. They are detrimental to a child and them growing up, all right? And so then the next phase after that part, we get to out-of-home care. Then we get to permanency, right? So the goal of any fostering, right, the goal of any fostering is always to reunify with a biological family. That's always the goal, right? That doesn't mean that's always the best case scenario, right? There are situations and scenarios when that child needs to be removed from that home and the parental rights need to be severed, right? But the goal is always to be reunified back with the family to keep them together because that is what's going to be best for the child, all right? But some parents could have them right, and then adoption can be also very complex, right? It can take a long time. Even if you're fostering, right, and you're like, hey, now we want to adopt our child as well. That child has been in our home for a while. It can be a very complex, difficult situation that we go into. And then the last phase, if you've ever heard the term aging out and you don't know what aging out means, that is when a foster kid turns the age of 18. Now they can choose to opt out of the foster care system here in the state of Florida. And so what that means, just imagine, at the age of 18, you've been going from home to home to home, right? Some of them may have been better than others, but the majority of time, if you've gone from home to home, that means that you have not been treated fairly and you have not been treated properly. You've never had a loving home. You've never had anybody to teach you and treat you right. So we wonder why these numbers are so high. Dexter, go to the next one. We wonder why these numbers are so hard, right? We wonder why we have a high homeless population. We wonder why we have a high incarceration rate. And we wonder why girls and women are sex trafficked, right? There's numbers, right? So there's numbers all over. I'm not going to give you specific numbers, but there's numbers from 60 to 90%, depending on what that have spent time in foster care in all of these situations. And so if we really want to see systemic change, having and getting to the upstream part and handling and helping families stay together is going to keep a lot of these families and young children and young women out of where they are. And so here's what happened, right? A foster kid comes in, they age out, and so what happens is they don't understand, and so then their families are more likely to be fostered. And it's this cyclical effect that continually happens because they have nobody in their life that is then helping them, guide them, and direct them, and being a face of stability.
That last slide you saw down at the bottom, it says generational cycles.
Yep.
I like to refer to it as a generational curse. Amen. And Care Portal has been positioned by God Almighty. And I'm not, you know, if I boast, my boast is in the Lord. It has been positioned by God Almighty to break that generational curse.
Yeah.
And the deal is we have everything that we need to do. It's called the church. I mean, that's why the church was put here. And we're going to get into that a little bit more. It's to break those generational curses so our children do not have to be removed from their homes. All we have to do is wrap some services around them and keep those children with mom and dad. And that's what Care Portal is trying to do. But not just with children. Listen, I'm proud to be a Floridian. And I'm about to tell you why. Go ahead and clap and I'll tell you why. Clap, 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 I'll tell you why. Only in the state of Florida. Am I right about this, Tim?
Yes.
Care Portal, you're going to find out, is in 37 states, but only in the state of Florida. And that has everything, like him, love him, hate him, whatever you want to do, has everything to do with Governor Sanchez. He looked at what Care Portal was accomplishing with vulnerable children. And he just said to Adrian Lewis and Care Portal, can you guys do this for our seniors? Can you do the same thing for our veterans? Can you do the same thing for those who are disabled? And Care Portal said, yes. And so only in the state of Florida, Floridians are also serve veterans, seniors, and persons with disabilities through Care Portal. We do that through agencies. And these are the agencies that we use, the Department of Elder Care, Department of Veterans Affairs, and agencies for persons with disabilities. And so if you're wondering, well, you know, what's the deal? Why is this so needed? We brought some numbers to show you why. 21%. Of Florida's adult population is 65 years and older. 80% of the senior population lives at or below poverty level. That, I don't know about you, but that blew my mind.
Yes.
80% of our Americans who live in Florida, after you've worked hard all your life and done all those things, and now you can look for in the Sunshine State of Florida, is living with an income of $14,000. Who can live off $14,000 in Florida? And yet 80% of our seniors, y'all, are being required to do that. 8.2% of Florida's adults, a population, are veterans. These are the ones that make it so that we can be free, y'all. These are the ones, but 7.2% of Florida veterans live in poverty. And almost 30% of Florida veterans have a disability connected to their time of service. So these are our brothers and sisters that went out and put their life on the line, y'all, so that we can do what we do in America, and yet they come back. Mm-hmm. It's unacceptable. I'm just telling you, it's unacceptable, not by my standards, but by God's standards. This is unacceptable. Gets worse. One in three adults in Florida have a disability. And almost 24% of people with disabilities in Florida live in poverty. Live in poverty. 7.2% of veterans live in poverty. Almost 24% of persons with disabilities in Florida live in poverty, meaning they struggle with the basics, food, shelter. Some have mental health concerns and live in isolation and the like. But those numbers are staggering, but this is the number I want you to pay attention to over here. There are 3,000, over 3,000 churches. Now, I got to admit, y'all, I skipped math a couple times, right? So I'm not a mathematical genius. But to me, this math does not add up. How can we have this many churches to have these kind of numbers associated to God's people? It just doesn't make sense. And when I heard it, as a former pastor, when I heard it, the first time I ever saw it, I'm like, oh, man, I got mad, y'all. I got mad. The church is not doing what the church is supposed to do.
If the church would just do what it's supposed to do, we wouldn't have these numbers. And I came to find out that I was wrong about that. The problem is, the church doesn't know. Listen, I'd go 99.5%. I'd bet, if I was still a betting man, I would bet that all of you in here, if you and your churches knew about this, you'd do something about it. And that's why Care Portal is here, to connect, because connection changes everything. Mm-hmm. So if we can connect your church to the vulnerable in your community, then we can make some things happen. And so I have this rhetorical question. What ministries does your church already have or you feel called to create with the capacity to serve vulnerable neighbors? And what barriers for those ministries, what barriers are there for those ministries to exist? And I say rhetorical because we already know the answer to the question. We know why you can't do what you need to do. And here's the reason. You don't have access to the families. These families I'm talking about with those numbers are right in your neighborhood, but you didn't know it. Care Portal was here to provide you access to those families. Yep. You don't have a trustworthy vetting process. Everybody knocks on your door and say, we need. You don't know which ones are legit or not. And there are many people taking advantage of God's resources. Well, Care Portal was here to provide you with a vetting process that's going to take care of that. How about this? Can your church stand for more resources to meet the needs of people in your community? I would say yes. And Care Portal, again, is here to help you with those resources. How about this one? To equip and empower congregations to serve. I don't know about your church, but usually my church is like, it's hard to get our people to move sometimes. But how about if we can bring some training and equip the people in your church to go out and be the hands and feet of God, of Jesus? I think more would be motivated. Care Portal is here to provide that training. And last but not least, how about a way to advocate for community needs to a larger audience? That's where Care Portal comes in, to now connect you to the other churches in your neighborhoods that are willing to do the same work that you're going to step up and do because you heard this presentation today. Yes. So, Care Portal is
a connector. How does it work?
Huh?
How does it work?
You want to tell them?
I'll give them this. You take the specifics. First, we uncover the needs. Right? So where are they, right? Dexter talked about this specific thing, right? Like, there are people in your neighborhood, but a lot of times we don't know where they are. Like, if I knew that grandma and grandpa down the road were taking in two kids that needed a bed, like, we would be there in a heartbeat to go give them the bed, right? So step one is uncovering that need. That's why we partner with those agencies. They vet that, right? They're going into the homes. They're figuring out what this family actually needs to stay together. They're on a plan, right? They have this plan to help them stay together, so they uncover that need. Then they get on the platform, they submit it, right? Then boom, it's immediately submitted, and the churches in that area that are closest to that family are then notified, right? They're notified in step three, they share that need, and then number four is meeting that need. Dexter, you go ahead.
Can we break it down now?
Yeah, break it down.
Let's start with step one. What does step one, uncovering the need? A child or family in need requires help from a caseworker. That's why Care Portal is able to say, this request that we're going to send your church is vetted. How do we know? Because a caseworker is in that home working with that child, or a caseworker is in that home working with that adult or senior that's vulnerable. There's somebody there. And because that person is there, that person will make requests on behalf of that family. This is a list of the most requested items we have as it pertains to children. Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity. What do you think the most requested item on that list is? Who said it? What'd you say?
Beds.
Absolutely.
Yep. Number one by far.
I was a little surprised at that. I thought it would have been groceries. Because we cut, you thought diapers. Because we assume that everybody has a bed to sleep on. But I promise you, on a day-to-day basis, we get requests.
Oh, my God.
Child is going to be moved out of the home because the caseworker has deemed it necessary for them to have a bed to sleep on. As I said before, it's not acceptable, is it?
Wait, they get removed just because they don't have a bed?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Because it's not a safe and stable place to sleep.
No, think about it. The kids on the floor all night long, how are they going to go to school to be productive?
Number two, Tim says, submitting those needs, that caseworker. And I got to put my kickstand down and talk about the caseworker. The caseworker is a committed person. Mm-hmm. This person is pouring their heart and their soul into making sure that this family's okay.
Yep.
Okay? I mean, so there's a lot of ways to make money than being a caseworker. Mm-hmm. They're long hours for very, very little pay. So these are the folk on the very front line. These are the ones that are going in those homes that sometimes don't look so good, going to those homes in areas that sometimes are maybe not so safe. But they're going in there and advocating for that family.
Yeah.
And so that caseworker will put in a request. And the request looks kind of like this. And that caseworker, Tim and I get a chance to hear stories, right, Tim? Of families. And the caseworker saying, this mom, this single mom that has four kids, recently divorced, lost her home, da-da-da-da-da-da. Can you help with food? Can you provide? We get those every single day. And it's because the caseworker took the time to fill this thing out and submit that need into the care portal system. Got some guidelines for that submission. It's first of all, there are no names on that request. You won't see Mary Joseph needs this. You won't see that. You'll see a mother needs this. And so we're trying to keep any embarrassing details or any personal information about that person away from that request. And then their major job is to advocate for that family. And our caseworkers do, Tim,
yes.
They do a great job of advocating for those families. I'm doing requests sometimes, and I'm almost in, and sometimes in tears.
Yeah.
As you're reading the stories about our brothers and sisters that live in the same neighborhood we live in, but don't have resources to live. They put realistic time and value estimates on when the request is going to be done. And last but not least, they're focused on the essentials of what that family needs. So one is we identify it. Two is submitted. And that goes to three. This is where, man, this is where we start to shout, y'all. Because mm-hmm. Now we get a chance to share this need with churches like yours. And because we've already done work with your church, we've already identified. No, but we've equipped you to be ready to receive this request from this family. And so that's what happens. And so it's shared with every care portal, a church that's in proximity or in radius to that church. Primarily, for the most part, we'll do a 5-mile radius around the church address, and you'll get requests around 5 miles of any requests that go into your area.
And you can set it up as far or as little as you want.
Yes.
That radius is up to you and how far you think your church can reach and how far you think people will come to your church.
This is what a request looks like. Can you read that, too?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So this is the story, right? So this is to help improve a child's safety and well-being. It says, our team is working with this young mother and father of 3 young children. The father lost his job due to unexpected cutbacks, and the mother has a complicated birth for the baby in the home. Between the job search and taking longer than anticipated in the medical bills, they are having a hard time making ends meet. They have 3 children, 5 and under, so mom cannot go to work and earn a paycheck that is the equivalent to what she would spend in daycare bills. I don't know about you, but my wife's a clinical psychologist, and it was actually the reverse role. My wife was making a little bit more money than what I was making as a pastor at the time. And so I ended up becoming a stay-at-home dad to take care of the kids, because if I was to go back to work, it would have been at least $25,000 to $30,000 for us to put our 3 kids into daycare. It's really expensive, right? So then where does that happen, right? And so dad lost the job, so here's mom trying to be like, well, I still have to take care of the kids, but daycare is going to be too expensive, so it's not going to matter if I go to work. So here, then it says, our office is dedicated to relieving some of their financial pressure and is getting them some steady assistance. In the meantime, some help with diapers and wipes for the baby and some grocery assistance for a few weeks until that assistant comes through would make all the difference in reminding this family that their community cares about them. And thank you for the support. I don't know about you, but when my wife was going through that, she was making hardly any money. I was trying to stay at home with the kids. And every once in a while, we would have a family member or we would have a friend that would send us some money. That would just be like a life preserver to help us pay our rent or to help us get groceries and diapers and wipes and get all the essentials that we needed. And a lot of times, these people are living in isolation, and here this family is living with isolation. But here comes Care Portal, and here comes you, the local church, who is rich with community and resources, who can come in and to meet this family and love them right where they are.
This family is a good family, y'all.
Yes.
This father lost his job. He's like you know, some guy on the street don't want to work. This mom had a complicated birth process. And what are they asking for? You said
books.
Yeah, but you said it.
Diapers.
Diapers, y'all. Food. Not saying, well, give me a new car to drive. They're like, we just want to change the baby's diaper, and we want to give the baby something to eat. And the family says, no, we don't want long care assistance. Just help us out right now until we can get on our feet. To me, this is a no-brainer. This is what the church is. This is what the church does. And so this is what Tim and I look at every day. In the hundreds across the nation, requests like that are coming into Care Portal. So we got to identify the need. We got number two was submitting the need. And then, so now we're down to number four. And this is the most exciting part to me. See, guess who that picture is? That's a picture of two people from your church knocking on the door. They're knocking on the door. And they're showing up for this family. Remember, it's the family that needed the diapers and the groceries and the stuff. They're showing up at this family with groceries in hand. They're showing up. And three things are going to happen here at this door. First of all, their physical need is going to be taken care of. That's the first thing. They're going to see those groceries and diapers. They're going to be happy. Right? The second thing these folks are going to do, because we train them to do them, is to invite them to come out to your church. This is not just a drop in a bucket. It's an opportunity for you to get a new family in your church and build a new relationship, a new family that you can disciple. So that's the second thing that's going to happen. And the third thing, be someplace between that house and your church, they're going to hear the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. What else, y'all, is church made up of? I mean, to me, especially when I'm talking to pastors, there's missions, there's evangelism, there's discipleship. All those things are tied in to us simply raising our hand and say, yes, we'll be the hands and feet of Jesus and knock on these doors.
And just so you know, how you get that information, right? Because we talked about sharing no contact information, right? So our site is a public platform, right? So there's not going to be any identifiable information that goes into there. But the moment that you hit, yes, I can help, and you say, yes, I can help that need, you're going to get in touch with the caseworker. They're going to get your information, and then they're going to send you their information. And then once you get in contact, their goal is to now send you the actual address through email or through text, the information of that family, so that it's in a more private environment. So you will get access to that. And you don't even just get access. You don't even just get access to that family. Now you get access to the agency workers.
Yes.
Who have been downcast, who have never felt supported, who are not thanked for what they do, who feel like they're coming in to remove kids when they're trying to help keep families together, right? And so now they begin to feel supported. They begin to feel loved. It is not just the family. So now you got the family that's feeling supported. You got the caseworker that's feeling supported. And you can imagine what God can do when people begin to feel supported, right? He begins to move. He begins to change lives because people are coming together. The people of God are once again doing what he's always asked us to do, which is love the most vulnerable.
Connection changes everything. And again, God has sent Care Portal to do a paradigm shift in the way that we serve. Tim and I just left a conference 2 days ago. I might add, we got stranded in the airport for 6 hours, didn't get home to 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. But besides that, it was a great conference. The conference name was Care Reimagined. Reimagine the way that we can care for one another through the grace of God. Reimagine how that thing can happen. And so Care Portal says, we're going to do it a little different. As opposed to everybody running to the church for help, what if we start with the community? And the community builds some support around the church so that the church can build some support around the family so the family can wrap their arms around the child. What if we do it that way? That's Care Reimagined. That's doing it differently. And God has positioned Care Portal throughout the United States of America to do just that. Tim, share those stats with them.
Yeah, so these are the numbers updated as of 7:30 this morning. So over 368,000 children that are served with $138 million of economic impact nationwide. So that means this is not the government, this is not the state, this is people like you, businesses, agencies coming together and churches coming together to make a difference in America, where this was never asked to be the government that did this. It was always asked to be the church, that the church was to serve this. And so now you're beginning to see that. And that's with over 7,500 response teams nationwide that are making a difference. And then here's what it looks like in the state of Florida as well.
In the state of Florida, y'all, right now. These are real numbers. We looked up this morning.
32,000
children have been served in the state of Florida. And again, only in the state of Florida are we doing adults. Over 10,000 adults have been served through Care Portal with an economic impact of over $14 million. Currently, we have 180 church response teams working out through the state of Florida. And all we're looking for is see if we can add some more on with your churches today. Connection, y'all, changes everything. And so we've done the best we can so far today at making you see the statistics, how God is moving with Care Portal. The only question left for you, because everybody here belongs to a church, is it biblical? And we're here to answer that question. This is the word of God. This is not Tim, this is not Dexter. But Brother James, the brother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he's the one who said it. So if you don't like it, take it up with Brother James. Brother James says, religion that God the Father accepts as pure and faultless, y'all, is this: to look after who? The orphans and the widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That's Bible. Orphans, widows, children, adults. It was never, Tim just stated, it has never been the responsibility of government to do this. It was never the responsibility of welfare to fill this gap. It has always been ordained by God to say, this is the church. This is the church. It's not just brick and mortar. It's loving on these population of people, our babies. The Bible also goes on and says, what you've done unto the least of them, Christ says, you've done unto me. So this is serious. So to the extent that we haven't done it yet, that's our fault. But God has sent us a tool that we can change that today. Every church, our job is to make sure every church in the state of Florida is a Care Portal church. That every church has the opportunity to be the hands and feet of God.
We're just a tool. We're just a tool for the church to do what it does.
And so here's what happens. It's going to happen in this room right now. I don't know which one you're going to be. But God says, I got my sheep and I got my goats. The Bible says, again, the sheep, when I talk, they hear my voice, and they come. The goats, not so much. And so we just tell a story, and then we see who the sheep and who the goat. I know, hey, it's tight when it's right. It is what it is. All we do is tell the story, and it's a true story about what God is doing through Care Portal. And to bring that home, Tim is going to share some information on what happens next. Here's how you get involved.
This is how you can launch it within your church. And I'm going to give you a little bit more specific information of how we did it with Covenant. And so if you know Covenant Presbyterian, Pastor Jerry Clem, we have launched it with them. And it's been one of the go-to churches that we're looking at now of how we can implement it to a lot of other churches. And so first is recognize the need, right? So how this happened first was Pastor Jerry and I just sat down and had lunch together. And he asked me what I did. And I began to share what Care Portal was. And then he began to ask a little bit more questions. I was just like, hey, this is what Care Portal is. This is what we do. And he's like, wait a second. You're telling me that the church can now go and meet these needs that we've been trying to figure out how we can do this the entire time. And you're telling me that you're getting, I'm like, yes, that's exactly what I'm telling you. And it's free. There's no cost. Never will be. You just do what you do. You just supply those things for them. And so then, at that point, once you recognize a need, once you talk to leadership and figure out how do we want this, then we identify a point person, and then you enroll your church. Okay, there's we give you a link, then you just enroll it. It takes you about 30 seconds to fill out. It enrolls it, then it connects you. Once you enroll, you hopefully have already been connected, either Dexter, myself, or there's numerous other people throughout the state of Florida and throughout the country that are just like us who implement this and put this in. And so hopefully you'll be in contact with one of them. And then once we identify that point person and enroll, then we have a point person and other leaders training. And so what this does is that whoever needs to be at this table, whoever needs to see this and experience this needs to see it. And so what we do is we train them there, and then we figure out how can we implement it inside of your church? How is it set up? What are some systems and processes that you already have established? And then let's figure out how we can get this to work for your church. And I'm going to tell you specifically about how we did it with them. Then what we're going to do after we figure that out, now we're going to go through a training process, recruiting process, right? What does it look like? Does it look like Dexter and myself coming in and speaking or having a Q&A with pastors like I did with Pastor Jerry from the stage and having a slide, right? Having your media team share it from the stage, having a set date of these are the days that we're going to have this training. Who wants to be a part of it? And so that's what we do is recruit. And then once you recruit and we've set a date, then we train them. What we do is we come in and we do the training for you. All you have to do is just provide the place for us to do it and have the technology so that we can hook up and we can do it and it's hands-free for you guys. We take care of all of that, so it's pretty stress-free for you. But at that point, now we develop a culture of responding and discipleship. This is what we believe. I don't know about you. I was a missions pastor. I've been overseas. The things that's changed me the most is when I went overseas and had culture shock. And I realized how servanthood those are in what I thought was a third world country, right? Was something that I didn't think was in the developing country that I didn't think they would be like that. And all of a sudden, here I am to serve them. And they served me more than I served them. And my heart was radically changed of how much more can I serve people? How can I be more like this, right? And so this is the same thing that we're allowing for your people to have right here. Instead of having to fly overseas, now instead of skipping people in your own backyard, now you can help and serve people right here in your backyard, and we have a discipleship program that can help you, and you can debrief through that. And so here's kind of how it happened on the Covenant Church. I call it kind of the 4 to 5 phase step. Phase one is leadership foundation, right? So how can we get leadership behind it, right? There's so much more power, right? Just to be honest, it doesn't necessarily mean it's right or wrong, but there's so much more power when the senior leader, when the lead pastor is the one sharing the vision and catches the vision, right? And so it was Pastor Jerry and I and having a conversation and us sharing it, and then him saying, hey, I'm going to go back to the staff. I'm going to tell them this is what we're doing. This is the answer that we've been looking for the longest time. So Pastor Jerry got behind it. Then what we did is we implemented it inside the infrastructure, right? So then we began to figure out what does it look like here. So then we took it back. We began to have it with all the leadership teams. So then I presented it to the staff, the entire staff, showed them what Care Portal is. They got behind it. Then at that point, Pastor Jerry's like, hey, can you come out to my deacon meeting? So then we went to the deacon meeting. Then I went to an elder meeting. And so I shared it all these different places along the way, building momentum, sharing what it is, how we can do it, how we can implement it. And then at that point, then we identified a point person. So after the elder meetings and everybody was involved, who wants to be a part of this? Who wants to lead this? Who wants to be a part of it? So we ended up identifying 4 people who wanted to be a part of the system and processes. And so then we sat down with Pastor Jonathan, who's the executive pastor with systems and processes. And he was like, hey, we believe that we should be the hands and feet of Jesus. And we want everybody to be the hands and feet of Jesus, not just a select few who want to, right? And so we want to implement this into all of our small groups. So anybody that wants to be a part of this has the opportunity to be a part of this in their small groups. And so what we did is we first launched and we began to just kind of present it and on Sunday mornings, said, hey, this is the date. We're going to have 2 response team trainings. One was private because it was only going to be amongst the elders and the small group leaders. And so it's going to be a private one that we were going to first kind of just launch it and see what it was like, see if we have a proof of concept to figure out how we can work this out before we make it at a larger scale. And so what we did is we had that response team training. We trained about 30 to 40 small group leaders and elders and deacons. And so then we launched with Care Portal, and then they met their first need within a week. And so they met the first need. They were like, holy cow, this is awesome. This is super powerful. We need this scaled to every small group in our system. And so then we began to set a date. We began to present it from the stage and say, hey, this is the date for Care Portal. And then 1 week before the launch of Care Portal, Pastor Jerry talked about serving, talked about mercy, talked about how we can be out in our community. And then we had a Q&A. He called me up to the stage. We had a Q&A of what Care Portal was. He began to ask some personal questions. If you need those questions, we have them available for you of how you can implement this in your church. And so then we began to ask questions. I began to answer them. We began to talk about the need here in our county, what it was. And then at that point on, then we set that date, then we launched, and we had over 120 show up for response team training. And so now there's over 12 small groups that are involved with Care Portal that are now going to meet the needs in our community. And so that implementation, that infrastructure, then the congregation engagements, phase three, and then stage four would be the sustainability framework. And so now with 11 to 12 different small groups, it's not just two people or three people or four people that are carrying the load. It's now the entire church. So now it's sustainable for a long period of time because we're doing the hands and feet and work of Jesus.
Amen. That's an awesome, awesome story that happened in Covenant. I think Tim broke a record, 120 responders trained at one time. But it's important that you understand it doesn't have to be 120 people.
Nope.
Care Portal could be started with as little as three people, one point person, two responders. And the smaller churches do the most work.
Yes, they do.
It's the small churches that really do a greater work. That's just the way it is right now. I hope it changes. But and we'll take questions in a second. It's the smaller churches, so you need a point person that's going to work the dashboard. That's the person that's going to sit there and look at those requests every day and push the button and say, yes, I can. And you need at least two people that'll be out and go and be the hands and feet and knock on the door and provide those services. I have a church that's small, that's even down to two people. The pastor, the first lady of the church is the point person, and the pastor and the first lady are the responders. And they're going out, and they're making it happen. This whole thing, and we probably should have shared a little clip of it. Inspiration from Care Portal came out of Possum Trot, Texas.
Yep.
It's a little church. I don't know how many people saw The Sound of Hope, the movie that came out. You guys didn't see it? It was launched last July. The Sound of Hope came out. It was about a little church in Possum Trot, Texas. And this little bitty church, and the church wasn't as big as this room.
Yeah. Yep.
It was not as big as this room. And at the end of the day, Bishop Morton and his wife took it upon themselves to say, we're going to do something about the foster care issue in Possum Trot, Texas. And that little bitty church, with about as many members as here, was responsible for foster care and adoption of 72 children. It became a national story so much that the movie came out. Go home and do your, you know, just it's online right now, so you can just pull it up. It's called The Sound of Hope. And so every place I go, and I'm like, if that little church can make that much noise for the glory of God, then how much more can the body of church, of the body of churches across the nation do? Last thing, we're going to take questions.
Yep.
So this is what I end up with at the end as I'm talking to pastors. Okay, we're going to recognize me. You guys going to help me identify a point person? Yep, we're going to help you do that. Hold on, you're going to train our point person and train the other leaders?
Yep,
we're going to do that for you, too. And then you're going to train our responders, and so they're already?
Yep.
And then you're going to stick around after and help us develop a culture in our church? Yep, we're going to do that. You can't get rid of us. We're going to stick around and do that, too. And here's what the pastors always say to me when I'm done. They say, okay, that's how much is this going to cost me? I promise you. They sit across me and say, how much is this going to cost? And so I'm going to let Tim tell you guys exactly how much all this is going to roll up in cost.
Nothing. The only cost that we're asking for is the need.
Show up.
You just show up. This software, this incredible technology is free.
The training. Free. All you got to do.
The ongoing training.
Free.
All you got to do is show up.
Do you get Gensu knives?
Let me answer another one for you. My church is so small, we can't afford to go out and get resources to buy furniture and do those kind of things for those families. And so Care Portal has something that's called Connecting Church,
which opens up a Care Portal fund with availability of a Care Portal card. So basically what it is, it's a Care Portal bank account, for instance, right? And then you get a Care Portal debit card where you can load money onto that card. Or for instance, here in the state of Florida, we're blessed. We have different businesses, different organizations who fund a lot of these needs. And so if you're like, hey, we don't have enough money, but there's businesses and organizations that would say, hey, yes, I want to meet that need. And if you're a Connecting Church, that money, they'd say, yes, I meet that need. All you have to do is accept that money, puts it onto your Care Portal card, and then you can go and buy those items.
So what do
no charge to you.
In many situations, even the cost of the materials for you to go take to the family has already been covered by God through Care Portal. When I talk to pastors, I'm like, here's when I find out who are the sheep and who are the goat. Because what excuse do you have for not doing it? It doesn't cost you anything. Training's being provided for you. It's right there. Why would you not? And so, thank you guys for allowing Tim and I to share our hearts. We're a little passionate about it, so please excuse us. share our hearts with you about Care Portal. And so for the remaining time, we want to make sure we can answer any questions that you have. His hand was up first, then we'll go right here.
So how would you, I guess, scale this for like a nonprofit? We spoke earlier and you said you registered as an agency.
Yep. So I'm a regional manager. So what that would look like is, depending on what we would need to do, we need to sit down a little bit more to discuss like what your needs, the specific needs are, what it would look like. But for the most part, yes, you would most likely, if you're a nonprofit who are helping, what we've talked about is you're helping people come out of incarceration, right? And you're helping them find and get stability. So in that instance, most likely you would want to be an agency to help those people find that stability. And so then you would want to be able to input and submit needs for your clients that would help them connect to a church, right? So, I mean, maybe they're not going to go to Orangewood, right? Because I know you're connected to Orangewood. Maybe not everybody's going to go to your specific church, but in my opinion, if they can go to a church, if they can find who Jesus is, that's the answer, right? And so we are not a specific, there is not one denomination that is going to be predominant over the other, right? It's whoever wants to come in, as long as you can follow our statement of faith, you can be a Care Portal church, and you can be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so that would allow you to be able to then enter those needs onto the platform and allow those churches to come in to wrap around that as well.
And you said enter as an agency, so is it a church? It would be different than a church, obviously.
Yep.
And then would it still be the point person and two people?
No, that would be what we would call an agency rep. So there's kind of a different, there's a different training when it comes to that. That I can talk to you about kind of more specifically when it comes to about the agency side
of
things. Yep, absolutely.
You mentioned caseworkers a number of times. Are these Care Portal caseworkers? Are these government caseworkers?
Yep.
Who are these caseworkers?
Private agencies. It's not all government, but a pregnancy center could be an agency.
School.
A school could be an agency. What's the name of your ministry?
The Path to Deep.
Yes, he works with incarcerated folk or helping incarcerated. It's possible that they could be an agency. We're advocating for people who are at the front end of care for families to be Care Portal agencies. So we're advocating for actually three things today. We want churches too, but we're also looking for agencies who don't kind of rob you as you're taking care of your family to put in a request and advocate for your family. We're also looking for Care Portal champions. Those are those businesses that say, you know what, I don't feel like knocking on no doors, but I got some extra money I can make. For the church to have to go and do it. And so that's the three things that really make Care Portal work. It's agencies that put in the request, churches that will say yes to delivering those requests, and then champions that don't mind sharing monies to help pay for those requests.
Do you remember that? Hold on real quick. Do you remember that child welfare funnel that we talked about? What my job, right, as a regional manager, I want to hit every single one of those. I want to hit upstream. I want to hit the prevention and preservation. I want to hit out-of-home care, and I want to hit transition. And so the goal is to partner with every single part of that child welfare funnel, right? Foster care is not going to be eliminated. As much as we want it to happen, we live in a broken, sinful world where people are going to do bad things to children, right? Because maybe they experienced trauma, and they had bad things happen to them, right? And so then they don't know how to respond, and so then they take it out. And so I know we live in a fallen world, so that's going to still be there. But if we can partner with all these things accordingly, right? So it's going to look a little bit different, but we do the main point of contact of what the agencies that you're going to see are going to most likely be the government agencies, what we would call the community-based care in the state of Florida. And so you're going to have like DCF, you're going to have your community-based care. Every single county is different in the state of Florida. And so every state's different, right? Texas has a ginormous one with just the Department of Children and Family, right? And then the state of Florida kind of has DCF, it's an umbrella, but then they partner it out to each community and each kind of what we would call a district that has their own kind of little agency that takes those requests that come in. And then what we do is we go in and train them on how to enter requests. What is your vetting process? We vet all that out and make sure that they have a vetting process. If they don't have one, we put one in place so that they understand what we're gonna do and how we're gonna do that. So we do that for you as well. So you can check trust that Care Portal's in there, making sure that vetting process for those agencies is going through.
Here and then there.
Okay. Typically, what is the role, if, or not the role, description of your point person? Is that pastoral? Is it diaconate? Is it lay
congregation? Glad you asked that question. It cannot be the pastor.
Right. I mean,
cannot be the pastor. We don't even want an assistant pastor. Unless your church is small, and that's the only person that can do it. But if you have a sizable church, we want somebody who's sitting out in the congregation, and missions is your heart. You know, people are your heart. Any volunteer can step up and be the point person, and they're better than the pastor and the associate pastor, simply because they don't have time.
Mm-hmm. Technically, anybody can, right? But there's a description that you're going to be handling systems and processes. You're going to be our main point of contact. The primary point person is Dexter and I's main point of contact that we're talking to, that we're helping train.
I'm going to demonstrate in just a second just what a point person does.
Three quick things.
Yep.
First of all, can we have your PowerPoint? secondly, can you put that map up on the screen to see where it's available?
Nationwide.
Nationwide?
Yep, the nationwide one.
There were some gray statements.
And just so you know,
let me do this before, and then I'll switch it back out for you. Okay.
And then the last thing is, are you scaling up across the nation for adults?
So let me answer that. Okay. So how it was rolled out in Florida, right? DeSantis and the government was like, hey, we want to meet these populations. These are another vulnerable population that is getting underserved, and we need to meet this. They already knew about Care Portal, and they were like, hey, your technology does not exist anywhere else. Can we use your technology to meet these needs? So we were Children and Family. We've always been children. So then we went back, we prayed, we said yes. So we're partnering with the government agencies. And so what we're doing, what we're seeing is like, okay, how Care Portal would have done it would have been a little bit different than how, let's say, the government tells us what to do, right? And so we're like, hey, well, what if we already have partnerships with some of these people who can serve vulnerable populations? What if we were doing it from these agencies who we train, who we get a connection with, and then we can expect? So what we're doing down in Miami is actually we're scaling that, and we're doing a proof of concept down in Miami. I'm working on that to scale it to the state of Florida to then show to them, hey, what if we did this? Would you allow us to be able to do this from that thing? And then it is something that is being talked about. I don't know exactly where it stands, but it is being something that's going to be talked about, how we can maybe
when
scale it nationwide.
When I told you this is a great time to be a Floridian, it's yes, because it will be scaled.
Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of time.
And it all started right here in the state of Florida. We are setting the mark. For Care Portal, first of all, we're one of two states that has statewide Care Portal.
Every county.
It's only two states out of the 37, and we're one of them. And then we are the only one that has adult-centered requests being answered.
What's a good state?
Right.
Yes.
It's the, I don't know what you call them, clients. The people being helped. It's not a prerequisite to being helped to agree to meet with the people helping you, right?
So what we ask our agencies is that that they're okay with having a church show up.
Okay.
So they are supposed to get permission that it's okay for a church to show up. So each agency, now whether or not the caseworker does that or not, I'm not 100% sure. I mean, we train them and different agencies have different processes. My agencies, they actually have to form, they have to fill out, so they have to mark that they actually did.
What the agency will make sure is when they're taking care of the person, the recipient, the only way that they can get these things is that the church is going to show up.
Okay.
And so they have to be willing to open the door for the
yes.
church to show up. It's okay. the only way we can provide the service.
Okay.
Yep.
And so what I follow on with that. On one of the screens earlier, or slides you showed, it had a, like, you can pray for the request,
yep.
you can forward the request, you can follow.
Yep.
Yeah.
So are you following the request or the family?
The request.
Okay.
So that family's information is confidential, so you will not be following that family.
Well, if you saw that family and you thought you had a
yeah.
heart to pray for that family, you might have a heart to pray for that family beyond the request.
Oh, absolutely.
Itself.
So they,
the church
that'll keep
yes.
you do that.
Once you yeah. say, yes, I can, then that's saying yes. Both the point person and the responders and your church are not going to have some access to that family, which is what we want. Right here and right here.
Any chance that there's a component here that's customizable for use within the church?
That's my question.
So hold on a second. So, yeah.
Yes. Yes. Every church has a, on your dashboard for the point person, I want to show you this before we go, has the ability to do church-centered requests.
Yes.
Meaning that I'm going to answer requests from the inside of my church of people that I have. Every church has an opportunity to do that.
Yeah, so we're a software for you to be able to do that
yes.
as well.
So that was related because I'm a little we're further down the pipeline in
yes,
launching
yeah,
this,
yep.
yes.
and that's where I am in my role. I'm trying to manage the stakeholders of multiple ministries. And when I heard about Care Portal, I was like, "This we have an adoption, kinship, foster
yep.
ministry.
Yep.
This is how I heard about Care Portal. I was like, this is awesome.
Yes.
And as soon as I heard about this internal request feature,
yep.
I was like. We have a refugee ministry.
Yep.
We have our own diaconal mercy ministries that we
yep.
do. And it's like I'm trying to figure out how to facilitate multiple interests
yes.
yep.
with this.
You could put that within church-centered needs.
Yeah.
You could create teams and you can create ways who are going to, whatever teams within those each ones, you can create a response team within Care Portal, within your church-centered needs, that would then be able to allow you to be able to post those and then anybody inside of those would get the request,
yeah.
and they would be notified of those needs.
Yeah.
All right, can I get your attention? Because I want you to see this before you go. To your point, a point person. This is a dashboard. This happens to be, I have a nonprofit too that's called Back to God, and we are our church Care Portal champion, meaning outside of working in the inside, I'm able to do it because I just love it anyway. And so every church will have a dashboard that looks like this. And you'll go into your dashboard as the point person, and you'll click on this little hamburger over here in the side, and it's going to give you options. And every week we say to a point person, go in and go into your request management and browse to see what kind of requests are out there for you. And so I just click browse, and here are the requests. These are a bunch of requests that are open in my area. So, hey, let's answer a request. Y'all want to? Let's do it. Let's do it right now. So this is, Tim, you can read it. Let's look on
yeah.
this one.
So this is to help improve the safety and the child of a child well-being right here in Orlando. This will tell you right here who's the agency that submitted it, right? So now you're wondering, like, okay, well, which agency is it? This will tell you right here who did it, right? So this is Family Partnerships
yep.
of Central Florida, the one I was talking to about. And so this says the parent's child had to stay with his grandparents as the parents needed assistance with getting resources for their mental health and cleaning the home. And the grandparents volunteered to take the children until that they were ready for him to come back home. He is to return home in a few days. So basically reunifying, right? And they've gotten a twin bed frame and mattress for the child. So they've already gotten some things on their own. So they're trying to get what they need. But they need assistance with purchasing some sheets, a pillow, and a blanket. And this is for a 2-year-old child.
This is you as the point person. You're just going to look over and click this button and say
yes.
Yes. Well, we're not going to do that. Let's see.
So then he did. So then you're going to get this pop-up screen. I will tell you this. The new update is absolutely incredible. It's going to take you step by step through what you
yes,
need to
Yes, I
do.
Can help.
So
it says fund or provide. I'm going to go to next. Then it's going to say, am I going to fund or provide? Now, as a champion, I'm not going to be the one that goes knock at the door, but I certainly can provide the money for it.
So you're going to fund.
So I'm going to fund.
Providing would be that even if you only have the money, you don't feel like you would actually have those items to hand off to the church. So then you would be working with Dexter. Let's say Dexter wanted to provide those items to you. Orangewood, hey, said, hey, we want to meet this. Dexter said, hey, well, I've got the resources. Now, if Dexter wanted to have a crib and a mattress, and then he could hand those to Orangewood to then go deliver them, but most likely a champion's going to be like, no, let me just get the money. You go, and you go buy these things. And so that's what Dexter's going to do right now. So he's filling out exactly how much is needed. So right now you're going to see $0 is still needed. Zero, so this is going to be completely met.
Why is this thing? Okay, so here we are. And I'm just going to keep going to next. So back to God, my ministry is going to provide $85 for this request.
Click further to the left.
Boom. So now he's got to confirm it. So it's going to pop up another thing. So it's hard to accidentally meet a request because it's going to pop up another screen to tell you, hey, is this everything that you wanted to do? Is everything correct on the screen? And then by the time you get down to the bottom, you're going to want to hit
confirm. I'm going to do one more thing. I'm going to do my payment method. And this is a Back to God Care Portal fund I'm going to use. Now I can confirm this.
Click confirm. And then boom.
Woo!
When you did that, did your processing fees go away?
I decided not to add processing fees simply because I'm already working inside a Care Portal.
Yeah.
A church may decide, well, yeah, we'll add the processing fees.
But you don't have to.
Is that an offset for credit card donation or is
yes.
that something else?
Yes. It's through it's for the credit card fees. Okay.
So right now, that request just got answered. Right now it's being funneled out to all the churches in my area.
And
the church
churches.
Is going to come and pick it up and go and be the hands and feet of Christ.
So right now, you guys, we all just met a need, even though
we just met a need. Family just got served.
So that was, you were a champion. You funded.
Yes,
I funded.
Now a church can grab those funds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So you had a earlier there was like an $850 request. So if you go out and you go, I can help $200 towards that.
Yep.
Good question.
Yes. Great question.
That's right. So you can you do the $200,
uh-huh.
It'll stay in queue. Another church will come around and say, we'll do $200. It'll stay in queue until the whole thing is met.
So is the last one the person that gets to go in?
Nope.
All three.
Yes. Or what you could do is if you could take the lead as a connecting church, what you could do is take the lead, and then other churches could help provide those items for you as well, working in partnerships. You can even ask other churches within your network, within the local area, to say, hey, would we be able to partner on this together? Maybe you both could go at the same time, those kind of things.
Uh-huh.
So please, before you leave here today, if you are a person in your church that can make a decision to become a Care Portal church, then see Tim and I. If you're a person that says, well, you know what, I got to get to my pastor, please leave us your information downstairs so we can follow back up with you. We need every church in the United States of America to be a Care Portal church.
And if you're from a different state, let us know. We will get you.
We'll connect you
with
that person in your state.
All right.
Are you here to the end of the day?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, at least the 3:30 for me. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I know we're talking about foster care. We started with foster care and then senior care.
Yep.
So I'm familiar with an agency that does just African immigrants.
Okay.
So we're not talking about necessarily being removed from their. They don't even have anything on it.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Is that?
So that would be an agency if it's child centered, right? Because we aren't scalable yet. For adults only, that's what we're trying to get to, where we can bring on all of, even adults only requests. But if it's an immigrant that's coming in and they need help and they have kids and we want to keep the family together before there's a report ever.
And they have an agency to advocate for them.
Yeah.
Yep. And then
that's
that
all
would
we
be
need.
Yep. That's all
they
we
would
need.
Be an agency to advocate for them. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I mean, you supplied the money for that.
Yes.
It also says provide. I mean, does it have to be brand new?
No, it can be gently used. And so that's why I was talking to this gentleman. He's a person that likes to collect gently used stuff. I'm like, get a storage place and collect as much as you can, because I promise you there's going to be a request that's going to come through that needs it.
Okay, and then there's agencies like here in Orlando called like the Mustard Seed.
Yeah, the Mustard Seed is good.
Yeah,
and so many of our churches will reach out to Mustard Seed to purchase gently used stuff if we can't find it.
And what we say, though, with gently used items, right? If you wouldn't keep it, don't give it to somebody
else.
That's what we talk about in training, is the dignity of the person, right?
That's right.
Like, these people, just because they don't have much doesn't mean we don't just give them the worst of the things.
We're not going to do that, first of all.
They're made in the image of Christ, so we want to treat them like they're made in the image of Christ, right? They're God's children just like we are.
Any other questions? Please stop down. Give us your name and information so that we can follow up with you and help us make this happen.
And let's change our communities for Christ. Let's reverse this. Let's let God be known. That's what it is we're putting the church at the center of care so that God's name, so that Jesus Christ can be glorified, so that more people can be in heaven with him. Amen.
I do have one last question that I think might be helpful. It was a covenant that you were talking about?
Yep, covenant Palm Bay.
And how long ago was it launched there?
So it was a process, right? So we started in like July/October of last year with a conversation, and then it trickled. But response team training was just in March and February.
Okay, so I was going to ask.
So they're new. Yes, they are somewhat new.
I was going to ask.
But they've already met numerous requests. I've got some crazy stories that I call one sheet at a time that they went into the home, right? So Covenant Palm Bay met a need for grandma and grandma who was taking care of the grandchildren who were coming into the home. Dad had just recently passed away due to COVID complications. Mom had passed away just a few years prior. And so grandma was coming in. And so what ended up happening is they walk into the home. They get their, all they're asking for is a twin bed for grandma. That's all she needed because she was not expecting to get them and all of a sudden had them. But she had one bed but didn't have the other. So she goes in, grabs the bed. The covenant walks in. They walk in trying to, hey, where can we go? All along, grandma's telling them, hey, be careful where you walk. Be careful where you walk. So they're trying to be careful where they walk. They didn't really understand why, right? Why do I need to be careful where I'm walking? So they ended up finding out as they were talking to grandma, as they began to meet, as they began to build a bed, that she lived in a trailer and her floor was rotten. And so they delivered the bed. They asked, hey, what's going on with your floor? Do you have it covered? Do you need help with it? And she said, no, I'm good. I'm okay. I've got it covered. And so laid on her heart, they just kind of, the Holy Spirit just kind of kept reminding them, and God just kind of kept reminding them. A week later, they called, they connected again. Said, hey, grandma, like, what's going on? Why can't I just, something's in my heart. Why can't you have the floor finished? And then she broke down and she said, well, like, I'm just going to be honest. I'm saving up a little at a time from my paycheck to buy one sheet at a time. And then my son is installing it one sheet at a time for each paycheck. So Covenant said, would it be okay if we just bought everything that you needed to replace it? They bought 17 sheets of pre-treated plywood. Not only did she get a bed, but she got a floor for her kids now to play on that's safe and stable, keeping that family together. So those are the stories and the impact that you might be able to make by coming through Care World.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you, guys.
So much.
Hey, how can we pray for you guys? You guys are out there. How can we pray for you?
Just pray that God's going to open the doors for us to be effective.
The church has grabbed this.
Church
and that God's glorified.
Yes.
What we say is we're the conduit. Once you meet that need, this is what I say. I don't care if you mention Care Portal again. Your church is the lead now. Jesus is the lead. We're just the connection. We're the conduit behind the walls. You guys do what you do. And we're just the connection that makes it happen. And so you guys do what you do. And so to pray that more churches grab a hold of this, that more churches come on this so that more children, and more families, and more adults can be served. And our communities can begin to see God change and revolutionize communities and families from the inside out.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.